God for Hillary. Amen. We thank God for that. How many of you remember our theme for the year?
We are God
against all odds. Odds were stacked against Keila. But God. We just thank God for that. Amen. We don't want to belabor the moment tonight, but we did get a call. The baptismal pool is on its way.
Events, what things have taken place on the inside. So Revelation says, and unto the
the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says, he that has the seven spirits of God, and we know that one spirit, these seven spirits refer to the church and the seven stars. He said, I. So we're trying to examine why would a child of God be dead when they are alive? Why would they be dead when they're alive? He said, I know by works. So to begin the examination, what's a pathologist? Oh, I can get this right, pathologist, amen?
Yes.
All right? You know, like that one? Pathologist. Spiritual pathologist. A spiritual pathologist. Oh, I even like that one. I'll clean that up. Sometimes they do an autopsy to find out who the individual is. Right? So sometimes in death you know who they are, and sometimes you don't. So tonight we're trying to find out what are our works. The first thing that the Lord mentions in examining those that have a name that they lived in a day, he said, I know thy works. If God were to examine, now this is a personal thing. I'm not judging you, and you don't judge me. You know what I said? The Bible says, Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. Right, we all know that. Right? But then Paul turns around in Corinthians and said, even the Spirit should judge all things. Right, so we're going to leave that alone. Well, he was dealing with the Pharisees in Matthew 7. He was dealing with the church in Corinthians. When he talks about ye that are spiritual shall judge all things. Amen. So tonight we're dealing with an autopsy of a dead saint. So he said, I know your works. God knows our works. Amen. That thou hast a name that thou livest and are. He said, be watchful and strengthen. You don't have a whole lot, but what you have left, you need to strengthen it. Yes. You may have been going through the spiritual meal, but it's time to strengthen that. So it's time to strengthen that which remains. Amen? Amen. You go, Lord, and say, that are?
Great.
Isn't that something? You're alive. But he said, you're dead. Then if you don't strengthen that which remains, it's ready to die. We're talking about an autopsy tonight of a child of God. Not from our perspective, but from God's perspective. Amen. He said, well, I have not found thy words before man, before the pastor, before the spouse,
before God,
before the job of the employee. He said, I have not found your words perfect before tonight, as we've been examined, we're on God's examination table. I can understand what the psalmist says, search me, O God, and
know my heart.
Yeah, when you start this autopsy on me, know my heart, then try me and know my Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me, and then I can't die as in this condition. So Lord, I need you to lead me. You know what? When somebody leaves you, you know you have a choice. You can either follow or, right? He didn't say pull me. You know what I
mean? Yes.
He said do what? Leave. Now, in God leading us, we have the responsibility to
follow
or not follow. Huh? But if you are a dead church, a dead saint of God, when God goes, you won't follow. You will stay right where you are. God said, I know your works. It's time for the church. I don't know what your works are. I'm not talking about work, just talking about church, because it's more than just working at church. There are souls to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. There are souls in our neighborhoods. We run into somebody every day that's not saved. You don't have to have a platform or a name. Just let them know Jesus is on his way.
Yes.
And that he loves you. You're not telling them they're going to hell, because most of them already know that. All right, so when you start telling them you're going to hell, they get all defensive.
Amen.
You know why they get defensive? Because they already know it. They say, I don't need you to tell me what I already know. Tell me something I don't know. Right, it's time for the church. Get some works. Let's do something. Amen. He said, remember therefore how thou has received and remember what you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, he said, I will come unto thee as a
thief,
and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. He said, if thou still have
a few days.
Lord, just count me in the few. Just count me in the few. Now, when we're dealing with the autopsy, since y'all want to be so political, right? Not only, just like when I first came down south, they messed me up too. Because I was going to school, they wanted me to, just because I said dusty, this and that, they didn't understand what dud, this and that was. Don't y'all know what dud is? This, that. So they made me chew on peanut butter sticks, icing sticks, and why you can't pronounce TH like D. Right. Right, so I see the other day I was visiting one of our services, and I think I said, it's a bad habit we have down south. We don't say four down south, we say four. So I said, turn to verse four. I thought, oh, four. That's what it was bad habit. Anyway, an autopsy on the DSA. The theologians, all Bible scholars and Bible teachers teach that the book of Malachi is a book that deals with the autopsy of a dead. All right, don't really talk about me, Jasper. I'm sorry. Autopsy, you know. I ain't going to be going through this, right? It's going to say my way. Y'all know what I mean. But it deals with Malachi, the whole book of Malachi. Deals with the autopsy of a dead church. From Malachi 1 to Malachi 4. Because after the post-exile, when Israel, Judah returned back to Jerusalem, they began to build a temple. And they embraced God's promises and blessings. But because the promise did not take place as fast as they thought it should, they didn't look at God's timing, but they were looking at their timing. They got discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read about God, Malachi, but Haggai, Zechariah, and then Malachi. Haggai is the one that deals. He said, you live in your sealed houses, and the house of God goes to waste. Because what happened, they had got discouraged because the events and things weren't happening as fast as they thought they would. So Haggai and Zechariah, those two people, then 100 years later, approximately, now comes Malachi. Because for 100 years, the people of Israel or Judah had just died spiritually. So when you read about it, God is dealing with a whole lot of different issues in Malachi. So you all can read Malachi 1 and 2 on your own, but we're going to go to Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 5. So all those that are Bible scholars turn the book of Malachi, the autopsy of a dead church. And there are certain indicators that lets us know when we're dead. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to start in verse 5. Do we all have it?
Amen.
We have it? That's bad, y'all. Okay, verse 5 reads, and I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a God said I'm going to be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the idolaters, and against false swearers, those people that tell lies, and against those that oppress the highly and they're not honest, they're deceitful, and the wicked, and the fatherless, and to turn aside the stranger from his right and so he's dealing with a spiritual condition in which they were dead. He said, they fear not me, said the Lord. He said, for I am the Lord, and I
change your
Change not therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. He said, my judgment is the same. It has not changed. It hasn't changed. Verse 7 said, even from the days of your fathers, you are going away from my feet. We have identified how you can be alive and dead and have not kept them. He said, you've gone to what? Away from what I've taught. You've gone away from the word of God. You've gone away from my teaching. He says, return unto me. He says, and I will
return unto you.
Says the Lord of hosts. But you said, when shall we
return?
Will a man, now that is something when the Lord said, will a man what?
Wrong
God. Because in order to wrong God, that means you got to go in God's face and take something. He didn't say you steal. Because nobody can steal from God because God never saw us on sea. God sees all things. So all you can do when you don't give to God properly, whether it's your testimony, whether it's your service, is now you are robbing God. To rob means to forcibly take. Right? So he said, well, how is it that we've gone away from your ordinances? How is it that we're dead? He said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. God said, first of all, how do you have the audacity? Right? Somebody got some nerve to rob God. Y'all with
me?
I'm God and you want to take from me what belongs to me? Now a lot of times, man, he is talking about money, but it's not just your money. God gives us time when we take that. God gives us life, health, and strength. And what do we give him in return? The autopsy of a dead child of God. Because God is giving you. But what are you giving him? I remember in the Bible, y'all ever read the story about 10 lepers? Y'all ever read about 10 lepers? God, now leprosy was it's like a terminal illness today. When you got leprosy, you basically were finished. You had no hope. But the Lord Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, they knew when they went to show themselves to the priest had to declare them clean. So when he said, go show yourself to the priest, they're like, okay, we got to expect something. So the Bible says, as they went, God healed them. But out of 10, only
one
returned to say, the other 10 were some dead saints. So when you know you're dead, you don't tell God, thank you. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say,
rejoice.
In all things we ought to
rejoice.
The scripture said, in all things give thanks, for this is the
will of God.
But a dead
saint.
We're talking about the autopsy of a what?
Yes.
So he said, will a man rob anything that you know you should give to God, whether it be praise, whether it be money, whether it be a testimony, when God has done something for you, and you can't tell God,
thank you.
That's a dead saint. Amen. That's more than wrong. Because that belongs to God.
Amen.
It's how you can't, in order for you to rob somebody from something, that means it don't belong to you.
Yeah.
So that praise that you won't release to God,
Jesus.
And God has been good to you, it belongs to God.
Yes.
But you won't let it go.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You just lost God. Now we're talking about indicators. Of a what kind of thing?
Dead
saint. Thanks in that word. Amen. So he goes on to say, yet you have robbed me in the one thing, if you read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when God delivered Israel, and they got blessed, he said, when you live in the houses that you did not, when you drink from the well that you did not, you get blessed.
Jesus.
When you eat from tree, he said, you did not. He said, beware lest you. This is how you know when you're out of tune with God. When God is blessing you, and you just keep forgetting God. Days on end without saying, Lord, thank you. He said, beware lest you forget. He said, and remember, it's the Lord who gives you power to get
well.
God said, if I didn't give you the strength, if I didn't wake you up this morning, you couldn't do it. So can the church say, thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
I know the strength, thank you, Jesus. All God has to do is speak the word, and that little will become much. stacked against me, but you're telling me that I don't know how to rule in the affairs of men. Yes. And the Bible said, God rule in the affairs of men. And besides that, God said, you said it's vain to serve God. Yes, we talk about the autocracy of a dead sex. That's a waste of time. Especially young people, they don't think they serve God, be living it. Vain, right? It's a waste of time to serve the Lord. And what profit is it that we have kept? I've heard people say, well, I've done everything God says, but what good is it? God said, your words have been stout. We talk about a dead sin. This is what I'm supposed to go like this. Y'all got to stay with us. So if you get mad, just get mad. Hallelujah. The Bible said, cry loud. Too many point a finger at God with an accusation and upset. Now, once again, so that we don't lose the scenario, this is Judah after they had come back out of Babylon, was back and rebuilding the temple. But for 100 years, they didn't either because things didn't happen like they expected. And God was now trying to revive his people. So he said, this is the mindset that you have that causes you to be complacent and to do nothing. Amen?
Amen.
He says, going on, he says that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud. He said, this is they're full of self. Proud people are full of self. But we call them? We're talking about the autopsy of a dead child of God. And if you read a little earlier in the scripture, it said they call good evil and evil because they've lost their spiritual bearings as far as God is concerned. So it doesn't matter anymore because I'm just going to do what I want to do anyway. God said, you're robbing me. Every time you complain, you are. Every time you don't show gratitude, God said you are. Because the Bible said let every teeth that has grace be unto you. If you wake up in the morning, you want to wake up for praise. Somebody said, I got a lot of brightness. I looked for a lady. She couldn't get on and go to this, but she said, I praise you for what I got.
Goes down in verse 7, he said, be not
not weary.
Righteousness,
right? And he's going to arise, right? Because the sun goes says that the what? Path of the
just.
Anybody want to be right before God? I need you to
just.
The path of the justice of the
age
is shining
more and more
unto the
perfect day.
So we read that all the time. So what does that really mean? What the Lord uses this illustration. He said the path of the just is like the sun in the morning when it begins to rise. Right? So the sun, when it begins to rise, it shines. The higher it, the more it. You ever come in to get it, go outside in the morning, the sun is down, and then all of a sudden at midday, the sun is at the highest peak. So what the Lord is saying, he said that the sun begins to shine. This is how our life should be. So it can start low, but as we progress, it should shine more and
more.
Then at noonday, it reaches its perfection. When it reaches its perfection, you know what it does? At noonday, the sun stands still. All the rest of the time, it's moving. But when it reaches perfection, it stands still. And then it shines throughout. Well, God said, our lives spiritually should be like that. We should begin to rise. But when we reach perfection, we should be able to stand firm and stand still at the highest point. We're talking about the church. So the path of the justice as a shining light, it shines
more
and
more
until the
perfect day.
Until it reaches its pinnacle. Until it reaches its height. The sun is shining more. What is your sun doing? Because it's the sun of
righteousness.
So as the sun is rising, it's shining more and more until the perfect day. Now, a lot of times we in church, we think of what we're doing for God, we think of our perfection. We think, well, you know what I used to do? You know what I did before? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I did? Sometimes people think titles, you know, that qualifies me to be somebody. Do you know my resume? You know what I used to do? What I preach, how many times I say all this? You know what I'm saying? So their son starts rising. Their son starts shining. Their son no longer has perfection because of their complacency. Now we're closed out in Philippians chapter 3. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Philippians chapter 3. We don't want to ever get to the point where we think that we are somebody.
Amen.
All that we done. I heard the songwriter say, Lord, all that I am. Or ever hope to be.
To God be the glory.
Philippians chapter 3. And I got a few minutes, so we'll finish up here. Philippians chapter 3. You might be something. We might all be something. But how does God see us? As a spiritual pathologist begins to dissect our inward parts, does he see a healthy body or does he see a sick body? Does he see healing or does he see sickness? Amen? We're talking about the autopsy. Of a
dead saint.
Right? So you have need that you live that you are. Strengthen that which remains that is ready
to die.
In what we talk about? We talk about a spiritual condition. Amen. First one reads of Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice
in the Lord.
Right. Paul said that. No, where did Paul write this from? Some oasis, right? Some resort. He's writing from where?
Prison.
In prison. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is. For all who are Philippians, Paul keeps saying, rejoice. He said, my situation is not the best, but I'm still going to
rejoice.
I'm in prison, I'm cold, I'm in a miserable shape, but I'm still going to
rejoice.
when I think of Paul, and I think on the judge, I gotta get some joy. My situation gotta change. Amen? Verse 2 says, Beware of the decision. And he's dealing with the Judaizers and those that were trying to get those that were in church to go back. And Paul asked the Galatians, he said, who did bewitch you that you do not now obey the truth? Who tricked you? Who cast an evil spell on you that you are no longer following God in truth? For we are the circumcision which worship God in
your spirit.
Where we worship the Lord in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have
no
doubt. Am I saying we're talking about the autopsy of the dead church? Dead saint. A dead saint has confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has well, he might trust in the flesh. Paul said, before, what I used to be. He said, what I used to be, not what he is now. He said, you know, y'all talk about what you used to do, what you did before. He said, I'm saying, if I'm going to talk about the flesh, I just trumped all y'all. Trumped y'all. Get it right? Trumped. See, already, not Donald Trump. All right, he said, I don't more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrew, as such in the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, he said, I persecuted the church, touching the righteousness of the law, he said, ways. He told me all of you what you got, your credentials, what's the real name, what you got. He said, blames. He said, but. He said, but what things were? All that they would accomplish something in the world, but what things were gained to me, those things I for who? I'm talking about, I don't want to be a dead saint. I want to be for Christ. Because what things were gained to me, those things I kind of lost for. He said, yeah, dogs. And I count. I count what?
All
things but for the what? Excellency of the
knowledge of
for whom I suffered the loss of
all things.
And do count them but
none.
Waste. Because my only desire as a child of God is that I may win
Christ.
And this is how you know if you are alive or dead. What is your passion? What is your greatest desire? What is your greatest focus? Paul said all that other stuff. I mean, you know, Paul was a genius of his day. He spoke seven languages. He was a genius. Paul said all those things that I could have been, I counted them lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He said, I've suffered the loss of
all things.
And I count them a dung that I may win
Christ
and be found in
him.
How many, what, we're talking about getting out of that dead situation. Amen. Be found in him, not having my
own righteousness,
which is after the
law,
but the righteousness of
Christ,
which is by
faith.
I gotta have faith.
Amen.
You can't please God without faith, because without faith it is impossible to please him. That I mean, I just want to know Christ. You know what I mean? All those other stuff is irrelevant. In the sweet old by and by. I'm going to show y'all a scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me show you this scripture right quick. You know, right now, everything matters. Christ is important. Everything we do is important. Right now. Can we say right now?
Right now.
Let me show y'all a scripture real fast. I got to find it. Give me a minute. I'll find it real fast, I believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everything right now is important. I just want to win Christ. But why do we want to win Christ? Amen. I think it's around verse 20 or something like that. Give me one quick second. Oh, real fast. I mean, I'm coming to deal with reason from the dead. Okay, I haven't read this in a while. So this is just give me one quick one quick moment. Find the scripture where it says, he shall be all in all with his son. He put all things. Okay, here we go. Verse 27. All right. Well, let's start with verse 26. You know, the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is what?
Death.
All right. Now, why is it so important to know Christ? Why is it so important to win Christ? Amen. What's the big deal about Christ? He said, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things put under him, it is manifest that he is. He's accepted. No, Christ is accepted. All things under him, he is accepted. Which it put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the
Son also
himself, right, be subdued unto him that put all things under him.
That God be all.
You know what he said? When everything is finished, there won't be no need for Jesus anymore. Because when it's all over, God will be
all in
all. All in all. That's why it's so important to win Christ. Amen. So as we win Christ, we win God. And then winning God, then everything. When the Son, no longer, right now we need Jesus. And the only reason Jesus came was to redeem man from the fall. After time is no more, then God will once again be
all in all.
There will be no more need for Jesus. Because Jesus is the saving person of God. Jesus is the saving me. But once everything is finished, then God will once again be
all in all.
That's why this Bible says, from eternity to eternity, thou art God. Now I'm going to finish up in Philippians. I promise. I'm not going anywhere else. And I got a couple of minutes, so I'm not late with the big clock, though. I'm not late. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made. He says, still, I just want to know him. I want to be conformable unto his death. I want the fellowship of his. When you know Christ like you are, you don't complain about anything you have. Because I'm in the fellowship of his. I heard the scripture say, if you want to reign with him, you must also suffer with him. We talk about the autopsy of the dead church. He said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I already attained, I am already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I also have apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But there's
one thing I do.
There's one thing I do is
forgetting those things which are behind.
You can never be anything in Christ if you keep holding on to the past. You gotta let it. Somebody said, well, you don't know what they did yesterday. Today is a new day. Now, I like what Paul tells the Ephesian church. He said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. You know, God gives you permission to be mad for 12 hours. After 12 hours, you got to forget it. Because today was only 12 hours long. He said, don't let the sun go down on that anger, right? That's in one day. How long have you been mad for months and years? Not in here. We talk about the autopsy of what? So Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. He said, I press for a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be
perfect.
Right? We've tried for perfection. The path of the justice of the shadow of light is shining more and more to the
perfect.
Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect as I am.
Perfect.
So we're striving for
perfection.
Amen. We try to be perfect. Amen. Therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherminded, God says, right way, God will reveal that.
Amen.
Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk where she have us for an example. For many walk of whom I've told you often and tell you now even weeping, that they are
the enemies of Christ.
Who end is
destruction.
That are talking in their chest, saying, that child of God. The end is destruction. Whose God is
their
head. All they're concerned about is
self.
I'll talk to you the dead saint. And whose glory is in their who minds for our conversation is
amen.
This word conversation means our citizenship.
Amen.
This world is not our
home.
We're just pilgrims and strangers. But our citizenship is
in
heaven. That's what conversation means. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall
change
our body, that it may be fashioned to his
Hallelujah.